Welcome everybody to the Paranormal Guide Podcast 001. Today we're going to be talking all about... What are you laughing at, Paul?
Paranormal investigator is.
Paul's starting to hear voices apparently, so we don't know what's going on there. But anyway, welcome to the Paranormal Guides Podcast 001, and today we're going to be talking all about paranormal investigator, or more specifically, what is a paranormal investigator? We're not going to talk about any of the celebrity paranormal investigators this time around. We might save that for another show. So for tonight, well today, depending on when you're listening, for us, it's afternoon outside, still got daylight, which is very odd for us. But today we're going to be talking just about what a paranormal investigator is, what's definition, and what their job is. So everyone's going to have their own idea of what a paranormal investigator is. And, well, in this podcast, we've got a few interviews. We'll be talking a bit later with Attila and Andrea Caldi from Validate about their experiences with investigating and what investigating means to them, as well as Debbie having gone out and asked the public what they think a paranormal investigator is. So we'll be getting on to that a little bit later. But for now, guys, well, Paul and Debbie, say good day. I forgot to introduce you. How rude. So just so everyone knows, I've got two of the team with me here today. So I've got Paul, our tech guy, to my left.
How you going?
You can say better good day than that, surely. And we have Debbie, our roving reporter.
Good afternoon. Glad to be back. How's everyone going?
Glad to be back. You said like you've been on some sort of holiday. It's only been about... it's not even been a week since...
I know, since but it's last recorded. Still good to be back.
Okay, then Debbie's always like on fire for this kind of stuff. She's excited just to be here.
I am. I'm actually glad to be feeling better. Like most people out there, I've had like my third cold in a row. So yeah, I am glad because I'm feeling better today.
She's not dead yet, guys.
Not yet.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Debbie this first, and we'll hit the tech guy with the same question in a second. So, Debbie, what is a paranormal investigator to you? How do you define it? And being, well, an investigator yourself, what does that mean?
To me, if I didn't... Well, before I got involved with yourself and our team and other groups, I got my first idea of what a paranormal investigator was from Scooby-Doo. And I watched that cartoon, and as a little kid, I loved it. And to me, on a serious side, sorry, folks, on a serious side, a paranormal investigator researches claims of hauntings, events, paranormal activity, poltergeists, and looks for answers, can use equipment, and sees what they can find in really interesting places.
I've got to ask you about Scooby-Doo. They went out and investigated claims of the paranormal. Was any of their findings, did they ever find anything paranormal? Or was it always just like the butler who was angry because he wanted the will to go to him or I don't know. Were there any actual paranormal entities on that show?
They had some hell wicked apparitions, don't you think?
But they were all answered as frauds, weren't they?
Maybe.
And Scooby-Doo is still around and new episodes are being made right now because my kids watch it.
Oh, that's so cute.
So... maybe Scooby-Doo is making some sort of commentary on our field and we don't even know it. It's all garbage. That's what Hanna-Barbera is saying. Paul, what's a paranormal investigator to you? You're a very gadget-driven person. What does it mean to you and how do you define it?
Well, a paranormal investigator is really a researcher of some sort, researching different forms of paranormal activity. There's quite a lot of different aspects of our field. What probably better describes a paranormal investigator would be the their speciality as a tech guy. I'm the one who's looking for different forms of equipment, different ways of detecting different paranormal events. You can have someone who is purely the backup researcher who goes through all the old documents, all the old newspapers, and finds events that happened at a haunted location. Finders or people who go and look for locations. There's all sorts out there. You've got the psychic side of things. You have very different roles within the paranormal investigation field.
That's pretty spot on, actually, Paul. And I think the research part is important. Like, it's not like you're researching something to qualify what you're saying. You're researching something to see if there's any correlation between what the claims are. So, you know, if you're looking at a place that has an ancient history, then maybe you'll gear your investigation around the time and the events and the life that was happening in that particular location.
Definitely. There's a lot of people out there who are paranormal investigators who probably don't even know it, who are researching the normal, that are disproving a lot of the paranormal events that are occurring.
It depends on what area of the investigation, like Paul and Ash have said, like what your speciality is. If you're a tech guy, you want to bring the right equipment to use. Maybe there's been a lot of EVPs at a specific site. Maybe someone's actually hearing noises or seeing apparitions. So they can set up their investigation and their research using the correct equipment as well, or what they believe to be the correct equipment.
And you've touched on there that they're looking for apparitions, but is that quite correct? Should an investigator be looking for ghosts, or should they be looking for an explanation to an event that's more mundane, more natural? What do you guys reckon? So should an investigator be going in there with an expectation to be finding the paranormal, or should they be going in with an expectation of debunking the paranormal?
Well, really, they're following up on stories, so... when we go to a location, we have a history of the area, we have other people's personal reports, and what we're trying to do is recreate or visualize what they saw. So, yeah, you could be looking for an apparition of some sort, but you're there to disprove what they saw, what they might have saw. So if you can find a normal explanation for a paranormal event, that's what we're there for as well. We're debunkers, we're researchers, we're whatever it takes to get the right answer, I suppose.
We're approaching it with an open mind as well. So, yeah, that's correct. We're not going there thinking that an apparition is going to shine before us. But if one has been seen in a location, especially if the person says it's recurring at a certain time of the day or, you know, a certain time of the week or whatever, or on a particular anniversary, then we know, because of the research, we can set up an exact situation and see if we can recreate it or see what might be causing it. You know, for instance, ETSA comes and does some work on the electrical lines in a particular house at a particular time of the month, and the people in the house don't know that, and they say, oh, this time of the month, my electricity always goes off. You know, that's an obvious debunk, but along those lines, if you know what I mean, it's like recreating, I guess.
Just like the cold spots, you can find a draft that comes through a certain area. It could be a certain direction the wind's blowing that causes cold spots in certain buildings. I've never, as a paranormal investigator, found any specific piece of proof that I can definitely say is paranormal. It's yet to be proven to me. So, I don't know.
So, an investigator's job is not to find proof of the paranormal, but really to go in. Well, a good investigator is really to just go in with an unbiased mind, with no expectations, and just try to solve the problem at hand.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, if you were investigating an old pub or something, you know, you could recreate the cards night, or you could recreate the happy hour and, you know, see if you could conjure any of those spirits or capture EVPs.
Another question is, and we're going to quickly cut to Debbie's segment in a second, is do you think that the way paranormal investigators are being portrayed out shows, because a lot of public aren't investigators, but they have a passion in the field or, well, an interest with the paranormal, is there a fair representation going on with what people are seeing on TV, reading in books and seeing in movies? We'll take that brief silence as a way that we're gonna cut to an advert. When we come back, we'll listen to Debbie's segment, and I guess we'll see how the public have interpreted the idea of a paranormal investigator with what they have seen in the movies and in documentaries and on the ghost show. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll try tackling that question again.
The Paranormal Investigation Group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products.
We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Apa Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.apanirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
Welcome back from the ad break. So we're going to jump pretty much straight into Debbie's segment. And Debbie, what were you asking the public this time?
I was asking the public, what is a paranormal investigator? And, you know, I really wish I'd kept the mic going apart from just the obvious question, because I got some fantastic responses from people. It was so much fun out there.
All right, we'll give that a quick listen. And when we get back, we'll comment on what we think.
Guides on the streets today, and we're asking people, if someone was a paranormal investigator, what do you think a paranormal investigator would do?
Search if you believe you have essence of a being.
And an investigator of these things, they would probably be people who are more in tune with these frequencies at different levels. And I think it's really important that these people do spread the word of this, because I don't know, a lot of people lead their lives very obliviously, and this is kind of important, so, yeah.
Ooh, carry around those, like, motion sensors and look for, I don't know, strange and abnormal happenings.
Well, I suppose they were, it's sort of like a journalist, except for the paranormal, you know. Go around investigating any possible sightings or hearings about paranormal activity. And then report on them, and so that sort of thing.
And what do you think a paranormal investigator would do?
A paranormal investigator could be someone who investigates the supernatural realm, or whatever they believe is supernatural. They could investigate ghosts and weird frequencies and, yeah, all kinds of things.
I got left with the impression that if it was associated with ghosts, it was dealing with people who were suffering from spirits, from killing other people, and I did tend to think that it meant that more so than anything, yeah, and I didn't really think it meant much else.
What do you think a paranormal investigator would do?
A paranormal investigator? Oh, they would hunker down in dark corners of dark rooms and try and capture perhaps images or mysterious sounds to prove or disprove the existence of paranormal activity.
What do you think a paranormal investigator does? Do you investigate paranormal activity? Checking out video recordings, sound recordings, that sort of thing?
Well, they could use an electroencephalograph and connect 24 wires to your head, and you breathe in and out, and they test the... It's measured in cycles per second, your brain waves. Most city people run at 28 cycles per second, but when you're 21, you're supposed to run at 21. When you smoke marijuana, you go to 10, and when you take LSD, you go to 7, and when you get drunk, it's 35. When you're paralytic, it's 40, and at 60, you have a cerebral hemorrhage shut down, you die.
As to what an investigator does, well, they try and put some truth to it all, I think.
That's it. Done. Thank you. Holy dooly, hey? An electroencephalograph.
I've actually had a 60 hertz recovered really well. I didn't have no brain hemorrhage or anything at all.
Yeah, but were you using LSD or marijuana at the time?
No, it's alcohol that brings it up. That stuff brings it down. Don't you listen to the guys that are speaking to you, Deb?
So would you say that the public, from some of those answers, maybe bar that last one where the guy, I'm not entirely sure, I was talking about something more psychological, more brain experimentation, but do you think from the public has a good grasp of what a paranormal investigator does? Because these guys would have pretty much all seen it on TV or read it in books. So what do you think on that?
Well, these guys are probably just watching the show, so which is what most people do, and they do get a lot of their perception of what people are through TV and movies and as such. So, no, it's pretty good. We do all that stuff, I suppose. I don't know about the brainwave thing, but we do EVP recordings. We do a lot of photo taking, and we are storytellers or story recorders, probably, which is that journalistic role.
Yeah, that's true. I reckon they did a pretty good job, you know. I mean, I just went up to random people, all different ages, and asked them a really difficult question, I guess, if they're not involved in the field. And I thought their answers were quite cool. I thought they covered quite a few different areas there.
What about the gentleman that believes that as investigators we save people from getting killed by ghosts?
Oh, that poor guy, I know. He actually said quite a few more things off air, and I think listen to self is keep recording.
Divulge some of these things if you can remember. We would love to hear.
He was talking about spirits' attacks upon himself and certain ways that he needs to protect himself from spirit attacks, and he needs to stay drunk most of the time, and that way he can't feel them.
It's really hard. So you absorb spirits to reject spirits and yep. Some sort of way.
Yeah.
So the paranormal investigator in his mind is the publican serving him?
So. That's it. And actually, you know, that was interesting because remember one of those people actually mentioned devices too.
Definitely. So she knew about the gadget man.
She did. She knew that, you know, obviously if she has watched ghost shows, she knew that some equipment is used as well. One of the things was they took the question seriously. So I asked a question. And not a lot of people thought it was a ridiculous question. I thought that was interesting. You know, they didn't say, oh, what? Are you serious? Most people actually had an answer.
So you didn't have a negative response at all, like when just asking people if they were to answer this question? Did anyone say, well, you're obviously a joke, you believe in ghosts?
Not a single one, and I'm honest about that. Not a single one. They saw the card, and most people said, oh, wow, that's really cool when you guys do that. So I thought that was pretty positive. Maybe that's a good media representation. So maybe some of the ghost shows these people have been watching have had a positive effect.
So the shows are working. They're getting the message out there. I mean, people might not take it quite that seriously, but behind every show or behind every program, there is some sort of real person out there really doing the thing.
Yeah.
People understand what it is, generally speaking. Yeah, they understood what a paranormal investigator does. They might not get the nitty-gritty. But I've got a question for the both of you. You've only really been investigating the paranormal 1 or 2 years. Do you guys have knowledge of paranormal investigations through the shows before you started investigating? And then was it just different? Was it different when you started investigating for yourself? Did you find it was different to how the shows are representing the field?
Well, for me, a lot of the shows I did watch were the YouTube channels, so which were predominantly put out by real investigators, well, people who call themselves real investigators, I'm not sure, but yeah, that they weren't so much like the TV shows where they were running around and things were happening all over the place. It was a lot quieter. A lot of the evidence were from EVPs and things like that, so it was a lot more tame than the shows. And I believe that gave me a better perception or a better starting point than just watching the TV shows and thinking, I'm going to go running through some old deserted hospital.
Yeah, same. Very much when I, you know, got a computer set up and started looking at YouTube things, and then I was quite surprised at how many different stories there were out there, actually, and how many different groups, professional or really, really amateur, were doing it. And, of course, then I sort of started my own page and started going out and filming some of these, well, some places. I wasn't investigating, but then again, I was, you know, trying to represent the stories myself a little bit. But yeah, I was surprised.
We'll cut to another quick break, and when we come back, we've interviewed the Coyotes from Validate. So once we come back, we'll listen to that interview a bit, and we'll discuss that in some more details.
Introducing Ghost Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. Ghost Shack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, mel meters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. Ghost Shack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or, why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
Welcome back, everybody, to another one of our The Paranormal Guide interviews. And tonight, or today, depending on when you're listening, we are talking to the founders of Validate, Attila and Andrea Caldi. So say g'day, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, everybody.
So for you both, what? How do you define what a paranormal investigator is? What is its definition for you?
Look, I think it's a very much of an open-ended question, because I think paranormal investigations may mean something different to individual groups. The reason being is because everybody's motivation is different when it comes to, you know, making inquiries into the paranormal. Depending on what level you're at, my personal interest lies in quantifiable information, quantifiable data, something that can be recreated in a controlled environment. I'm very interested in seeing things that fall out of our, I guess, out of our understanding, and something that cannot be explained. On the same token, a lot of the information and a lot of the data that's collected, footage, photography and the like, can be explained by, you know, by simple environmental conditions or, you know, optical anomalies. So I really like looking into the nitty-gritty and assessing any kind of evidence that's been gathered on a paranormal investigation, or if you know, somebody's experiencing paranormal events or paranormal encounters in their property themselves. And I'm very interested in assessing that. But most of the times, especially with private cases, you find that psychology plays a very large role in that.
I think to define what a paranormal investigator is, you first have to have a very clear idea about what the paranormal is. I think that is such a vast field, and if you really think about it, even 100 years ago, there were things that would have been considered paranormal back then, but they're not now, because science has since come up with an explanation, as Attila said, something that is quantifiable and reproducible. So what is paranormal at the moment may not be, in a couple of years' time, you know, when they find an explanation.
But I think, you know, paranormal investigative abilities, I think, comes to those people who not just anchor themselves down into one area. I think that being a paranormal investigator encompasses a whole lot of different things, and I think people should start, I guess, broadening their horizons and venturing into different forms of, you know, different forms of areas and parts of the paranormal, like I mentioned before, like ufology and the alleged alien abduction theories, cryptozoology, and there's so much out there that we can consider as paranormal. I mean, the list is endless. But I honestly believe that if anybody is looking at getting into this, my suggestion is to have some basic understanding of science and have some basic understanding on human psychology, because they do work hand in hand.
Absolutely. You guys touched on two very good points, and that I was going to bring up later anyway, so it's like a perfect segue. So the very
I'm a psychic and
so the very first point was, Andrea brought up that, I guess, 100 years ago, things were different, so our understanding of what was paranormal was different. And my question now, that is, you guys have been investigating for quite a long while now, so even in your time investigating, has the whole idea of what a paranormal investigator changed for you? So is paranormal investigating for you now, today, different from when you started, so the way you go about it and how you define it for yourself?
I think people grow, you know... look, there's no university degree in paranormal investigations. You can't go to university and get a PhD as a paranormal investigator. So we're basically at the mercy of you know, other forms of literature that's been written by, you know, individuals that may or may not, you know, how can I put it, may see things in their own perspective, but it really comes down to us how we interpret that information, whether we take it up as gospel or whether we question people's works. And if we're going to do that, then we need hard evidence to back up, you know, somebody else's theory or somebody else's work. It's very difficult for anyone to come out and say, look, you know, this is what it is, and I'm 100% sure that, for example, you've got demons in your house. Well, that's something that's intangible if it does exist. And unless you've got hard evidence, you can't prove that. So over time, I guess, what you become is you become more consciously aware of your own work and other people's work, and also the literature and the things that you take in and I guess, learn over the years from, you know, from academic people. I mean, they don't have the answers either, but it is good to see someone's a learned perspective, not just a layman's perspective.
So is there any evidence that you gathered in your early years that you've written off now because you found it or believe it's not paranormal anymore?
Absolutely. And I was just talking to Andrew a little while ago that a lot of the stuff that I did over the years, I've recently, over the past year or two, I've started to debunk my own work. And that's basically what I did. I went over my old work and had a look at it, looked at all the information that I'd gathered. And all I did was debunk my previous work. And I've debunked about 95% of my previous work.
That's how you know a good investigator from a, I don't know, a kook in the street, I suppose, is how much you actually do debunk.
I would like to make the distinction between investigator and an enthusiast.
Yeah.
You know, oh, definitely.
I think this is what sets people apart. And I think one of the biggest things that I've learned over the years is that you need to know how you're going to interpret your evidence, because you've got the data. And even as a medium, I've got my work and I do what I do, but I need to be able to interpret it and put it into the context of an investigation. So how does it fit in with instruments? How does it fit in with video or audio? What can I do to use one to validate the other? You know, so I think that was one of the biggest learning curves.
Validation is the most important thing on an investigation. It doesn't matter what reading you get from whatever machine. If you don't back it up with numerous other things, I believe, yeah, there's nothing more important than validation itself.
Exactly. Well, validation, validate. That's our name.
Basically, I like to take the courtroom approach when it comes to presenting evidence. If you are presenting evidence to a jury, you ask yourself, what evidence would be enough evidence to convince me that what I'm presenting to a jury is, in fact, paranormal in nature? That's the type of approach I look at.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight, guys. And
we had a great time.
Excellent. And people want to find you online or on Facebook. How do they go about that?
Well, we have a Facebook page called Validate.
Yep.
So find us. You can find us on that. I have a website, which is andreacowdy.com. Or if you want to look at what we're doing as Team Validate, just visit www.paranormalnation.com.au.
And then there's www.projectufo.org. And our media sites is www.paranormalinvestigators.com.au or www.moonlarkmedia.com.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And we'll chuck all those links up with the description of this podcast. So once again, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again some other time.
Thanks guys.
Thank you.
What an interesting way of looking at things. One of the things which sprung to my mind was saying that, you know, you need a basic understanding of human psychology to potentially, not necessarily do research, but maybe have an appreciation of how people will react to things. And I don't necessarily think it's hugely important in investigating, but it's certainly hugely important in understanding the psychology of people and understanding perhaps how the subconscious mind may work. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, well, that really brought to my attention probably is that the actual investigation, field investigation, is probably only 10% of the work of an investigator. A lot of it is the debunking of evidence or supposed evidence, the just filtering of everything that you've done on the field.
And he answered the question beautifully on whether the investigation field has differed between when he started. And he and Attila started, I'm pretty sure, pre-2000. I might have that wrong, but he's been investigating for a very long time. And just for himself, the way investigation and what an investigator is for himself has evolved, and the fact that he is now getting rid of a lot of his own evidence he got in the early days. And, yeah, like he said, he's debunked 95% of the things he's had. So as an investigator, it's grown. And so he's obviously evolved in himself what the definition of an investigator is, as he is looking at his evidence a lot differently. And I guess it's analysis for an investigator. It's going in, gathering data, and analysing it.
It's a very sound scientific way of investigating. And like he said, you know, you utilise that as far as your paranormal research. And, you know, you've covered your tracks. You can see if it worked or didn't work. And you, if especially if you recreate the exact scenario of what you're looking for, it's a sound scientific approach. Yeah, why not?
And Attila is, we talk a lot more with him on the full-length interview, which normally we would release after this show, but we won't for a couple of weeks because we were killing two birds with one stone, that interview. We were talking with Attila's wife, Andrea, about light workers, which is coming up in two episodes' time. But we can talk a little bit about Attila as an investigator. He is a true paranormal investigator in that he investigates everything paranormal. He's doing UFOs, he's doing ghosts, he talks a bit about his recent cryptid work, going out there and hunting yowies, I believe it was.
Yeah,
was
that's it?
And that's another thing as a paranormal investigator, as a description. How do you guys that are with me now, Paul and Debbie, do you define a paranormal investigator as being different from a ghost hunter or from different from being a paranormal researcher? Do you think there's a distinction between those three?
Well, there's nothing wrong in specializing in a certain area. I mean, ghost hunting, or the ghost hunting side of paranormal investigating is probably the most exciting. It is quite intriguing going into a building that is supposedly haunted, and you know, you've got that little bit of a fear factor. UFOs, very hard to track down. Most stories are debunked pretty easily. And it's not that exciting just staring up at the sky, although we do want to do it. I haven't done it myself personally. And my first experience as a paranormal investigator was ghost hunting. So, I mean, I do hold that probably one of my favorite areas or topics to cover.
You just said that you thought that ghost hunting would be the most exciting, but I remember you telling me that you reckon that cryptid hunting would be a lot more intense.
Depends if you can find one, I suppose. Going out in the bush, Attila was explaining it, and it will be in the later full release of the interview. It does sound like very much exciting work.
Okay, so before we head off to an advert and hit up a listener's question, what do you guys think an investigator is? So you've listened to the public, you've listened to Attila, who's been, and Andrew, who have been investigating for a very long time. Have you got a different idea of what an investigator is, or does it still hold? Does your original interpretation at the beginning of the show stand?
Well, to me, an investigator is a very, very busy person, juggling his normal life, his paranormal life, and his research life. We're flat out, and always have been, but it's hard. We're researchers, so yes, it does stand. We are a little bit of everything put into the paranormal field.
Completely. I absolutely agree. It's what we've always done. It's what we started doing when we got the team together. I don't think our focus has changed terribly. We've improved, and we've improved our equipment and been to some fantastic locations, but I don't think our focus has changed at all.
And we're going to go to an ad break, and then we're going to come back and delve into a listener's question, and we'll wrap up the show. Here's a quick plug for Apparition Technologies. They are producing their own equipment as well as selling other equipment for the Australian paranormal investigation market. And I think this is an incredibly important thing to do, because before some stores like this opened up, we were getting all our stuff from overseas, and there are a lot of manufacturers that do not sell to Australia. Paul has struggled with this time and time again. Oh,
Bill Chappell, please sell here.
That's right. So Apparition Technologies are producing equipment to sell here. So if you want to go check them out, it's Apparition Technologies over on Facebook. You can go to their store there. It's all built into the Facebook application, and you can buy, what can you buy? You can buy IR lights, full spectrum lights, EM pumps, you can buy cameras, you can buy voice recorders, you can buy, what else can you buy?
All sorts of stuff, but they're not only the EM pumps, but they're the non-spinning magnet ones. So they're a real EM pump, they're the real deal. They're quite powerful, and for $45, you won't get it for twice that price anywhere else.
Absolutely. So there's a quick plug for our sponsors over at Apparition Technology. They provide us with prizes and stuff for our competitions, as do the other manufacturer, well, the other seller of investigation equipment, Ghost Shack, who have also just got their shop online on Facebook as well. So we'll put some links on the podcast description, so go check them out, guys. Welcome back. Now it's time for the listeners' questions. So today's question comes from Anonymous.
Wink, wink.
We love Anonymous.
And they're asking, what, as a paranormal investigator, what is the most intriguing, I guess, event that has taken place in investigation? And we're going to hit Debbie up with that straight away.
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't an investigation. I heard footsteps on the second floor in the Elms Heritage Building when I was doing some volunteer work there before I started my shift for the evening.
Where is the Elms?
The Elms is within the grounds of Glenside Psychiatric Hospital. It closed during the late 70s, early 80s, a friend of mine tells me, because he is a clinical psychologist and used to go see patients there. And at this point, I had access to all of the floors, and Ash came with me one evening and understands that you go into the building and you lock the door behind you. There's only one entry. So I thought, I'll take my little camera upstairs and just have a look around. And as I was in one of the ward rooms, I actually heard footsteps walking down the really long concrete passage towards me, and I pulled myself. And I'm so upset because it was on my other computer. And it's easy to say now, oh, I got this, but I lost it. But I actually really did, and Ash actually heard it. But yeah, that was a pretty spooky thing, and I can't explain it. There was no one else there.
They were really, really loud footsteps. It was almost like someone was stomping. And this is concrete. This isn't wood. These aren't wood floors. So, yeah, it was really loud. The sound may have travelled quite a distance, but it really did sound on the camera, at least, or in the video, that it was right outside that door.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was no one there. I can't explain it. Never happened again. I'm just so sad that I still don't have it. Unexplained.
Paul, what's your most intriguing experience as an investigator?
Well, my most intriguing paranormal experience is not really as an investigator, which it happened to me driving to work. I would have been about 6 o'clock in the morning, driving to work, headed down the street. There was a jogger on the side of the road who decided to jump right in front of my car. So I hit the skids, locked up the car, moved a little bit sideways, and as soon as I was just about to get impact, I closed my eyes and God, I've killed someone. And no bang, no thud, no impact. Opened my eyes, I'm looking around, can't see the guy. Looked everywhere. So I pulled over on the side. I rocked up to work about 10 minutes late. I hope my boss isn't listening. But there was no sign of anyone. And I'm adamant this guy just jumped in front of my car to commit suicide. And he was gone.
Is he? Have you looked under your car? Have you been dragged along with you?
He's not still hanging on
there. No, I haven't looked under there. But no, there was no blood or anything anywhere, so I didn't hear anyone.
You could see him like looking at another person too, couldn't you, Paul? Was that clear to you?
No, it wasn't that clear. The jumping in front of my car was very clear. The jogging along the side of the road was in my peripheral vision. So yeah.
And then bam, all of a sudden.
Yeah, and like I said, I closed my eyes for that imminent impact. So.
Oh, God. Are you happy to say the location that happened?
Right next to the Adelaide Airport.
Freaky.
So very close, in a side street, just off it.
there's lots of legends like this of the guy that jumps in front of the car, you go to swerve, or you're expecting to run through him, and he's not there, and you've actually experienced this.
I have, and it blew my mind to, you know, I was pretty shooken up when I went to work. I've never experienced anything like it. So then it got me thinking as well. Does this investigation side of our business actually make us more susceptible to paranormal happenings? So is this going to become more common in our future experiences?
Normally speaking, I would say yes. I would say as an investigator, you definitely take in a lot more notice of the strange things that happen around you. It's your job. You become more observant, but it doesn't take an investigator to have nearly run into a guy running along the street to make you think, like, anyone's going to notice that. So,
that is a terrifying experience, yeah.
Thank God no one was behind me. Well, that's all I'm saying, so... Yeah. Nah. And yeah. Ash?
Yes?
What about you?
Okay, the strangest experience I've had is I was in a fairly well-known South Australian cemetery. you don't have to think too hard to know which one that was. I was out there with a team, and we were just basically doing a vigil. And back then, I'm not sure if this is the way it still happens, but back then there was a lot of people going out to the cemetery. And whenever a carload of people would arrive, we would kind of shadow them for a while just to make sure they weren't idiots, because a lot of idiots go out there and destroy headstones, and if they do that, we kind of push them along. So the person I was with was shadowing this group of people around the cemetery to see what was going on, and I was waiting back at the base camp. And after a while, I see what I think is him coming back, and he was travelling about two rows of headstones ahead of me and just, you know, coming across. So after a while, I yell out his name, and nothing happens, it keeps moving. And when it gets perpendicular with me, so only probably about 10 metres away, I yell out the name again, and it stops and looks right at me. And I'm thinking, okay, cool, he's acknowledged that I've called him, and, you know, I want to know what was going on, see who these people were. But then it just kept moving along, and I could see it. The moon was out, but it wasn't full moon, so it wasn't really bright, but you could definitely tell it was a humanoid shadow. And it went up. There's a plaque to an old house that used to be up on the top of a hill over this cemetery, and it was standing there, and as I was watching it see what was going on, it disappeared before my eyes. And that is... I cannot explain that. I cannot explain there was no way it could have gone anywhere. There was no other shadows, you know, it could have lined up with and then, you know, maybe come out later or anything. It was just gone. It just disappeared in front of me. So I guess that's one of the most intriguing things that's happened to me.
Sounds like we've had some very different experiences as well, you know. Sort of covers a few different areas of investigation there, doesn't it? I heard something, you've seen something, Paul's nearly, you know, seen a hitchhiker or whatever you want to call it, someone jump in the car.
You know what I find really interesting? Our team's biggest skeptic is Paul, yet he's had the biggest experiences.
He's sharing them now. We're all starting to feel more confident sharing them. Perhaps we've always had them.
Okay, guys, so that's going to be about it for today's show. Well, for podcast 001. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, next time, we're going to be talking about whether investigation can be dangerous and whether delving into like these kind of ritualistic things that we take part in can be dangerous. We're talking to John Safran, who has taken part in a lot of different rituals and ceremonies and, well, the type of thing that we would consider paranormal. He's been exorcised, been crucified. So that should be a very interesting show, guys.
He's absolutely amazing. Some of the stuff he's done is phenomenal.
So. I'm so looking forward to that. So it's going to be really great. I just know it.
And that's it for our show. So,
well, as always, if you want to contact The Paranormal Guide, you can do so through Facebook, www.facebook.com/theparanormalguide.
You can do so through the website, www.theparanormalguide.net. You can use the contact form there. Or you can contact us through the mobile service 0437233729. And singing us out tonight is local Adelaide band Guilt Free and their song Alias. So if you want to check out more of their music, just go to the podcast description and we'll have a link there, guys. So see you next time, everybody.
See you later, everyone. Happy hunting.
Yeah, stay safe. See you next time.